Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpany, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, 22nd March 2024, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Shan Hussein, Vice President, Institutional Investors, FX Sales EMEA. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Welcome, Derek. How are you?
I'm good, Chan. And you?
Yeah, all well. Nice to see you. And welcome to our listeners. So let's start. We had quite an eventful week for financial markets. So as an eventful week for the markets comes to an end, what would you say are the key takeaways from the perspective of the outlook for the dollar and other key FX pairs?
Absolutely. A big week and lots of events, as you said, Shan. I'd probably say there are maybe three takeaways. The first and probably the most important is the Fed looks nearly ready to cut rates. I think that's definitely an important takeaway. And that's, I guess, the perception we got from Powell on Wednesday. You know, the Fed have raised their GDP forecasts in particular for this year from 1.4 to 2.1. And then they've got 2% next year, 2% in 2026. They've lifted their inflation forecast for this year, but they've kept the dot profile unchanged with the median dot showing 3 rate cuts. So all else equal, that is a clear indication that there's a greater level of tolerance for easing policy in circumstances of higher inflation. And I think, you know, when you listen then to the press conference, I certainly felt that, you know, Powell was definitely more concerned about the potential risks of a slowdown. You definitely get that sense. He certainly wasn't somebody who was standing there having just raised the growth profile and essentially is implying through the forecasts of a no landing, you know, utopia type scenario for the US economy going forward. And, you know, he wouldn't rule out any meetings in terms of timings for rate cuts. Not even, well, May's unlikely. You know, it was like all meetings are live. Anything can happen inter-meeting. Also, I think he was asked about rates returning back to the lows that we've had after the global financial crisis. And while he said he didn't think it was likely, he was quite caveated in the way he answered that question. And again, would suggest that, you know, there's an element of thinking that, you know, rates could still go down pretty sharply from here. And then he played down the inflation spike that we've had also in January and February and suggested it was seasonal. So, you know, I looked back after the press conference to the beige book that was prepared for the meeting on Wednesday. And it was pretty negative, in particular on the consumer side of the economy, where there was clear evidence amongst most of the districts that there had been a notable slowdown in consumer spending, which has been backed up, of course, by the data. So my sense is that while the forecasts look very pretty and perfect, the underlying fear is that we could see weaker than expected growth. So based on all of that, I think the Fed are pretty comfortable about the idea of cutting rates. And if we had any kind of surprise downside data, rate cuts could come into view pretty quickly. Secondly, and I guess more towards what's happened towards the end of the week, I would say events this week tell us that the dollar in terms of its trading range will probably continue to remain relatively narrow over the next certainly weeks, possibly months. And by that, I mean, you know, the dollar weakened off on the back of that dovish press conference, but then has come back pretty sharpish today. And of course, yesterday, we've had the SNB cut rates. We've had the Bank of England, the hawks dropped their votes for a hike. And we've had the message from Bailey, you know, suggesting that we're approaching the time in terms of when the BOE would be in a position to cut rates. And we've had a shift in bias, well, a shift in communication from the RBA as well, more towards a neutral stance and moving away from its bias to tighten. So, and then of course, dollar CNY jumped through the 720 level based on the PBOC fixing, which moved higher. And that's kind of prompted this recovery of the dollar. So I think, you know, the global backdrop has essentially helped to curtail dollar selling on the back of the Fed's dovish stance. So even in circumstances when we approach, you know, the moment of the Fed cutting rates, when you look at June OIS pricing, you've got the Bank of England, the Fed, the ECB, the SNB, and the Bank of Canada, all priced for about 20, 21, 22 basis points of cuts at that meeting. And then for the entirety of the year, the cumulative amount of easing, again, across those central banks, ranges between 75 and 95 basis points in total. So in other words, the forward rates markets are telling us that there's going to be a relatively synchronized easing going forward. And that is another powerful signal that there isn't this kind of massive divergence that is expected. And in that sense, there's no real appetite for moving the dollar aggressively, you know, to the upside or to the downside. And the period of dollar selling post FOMC has reversed because of the global backdrop. So we continue in a narrow trading range, perhaps. And then the third takeaway is the BOJ, of course, was the big event on Tuesday. And I guess it's hats off to Governor Ueda, who has done a remarkably good job in essentially dismantling the entire QQE framework put in place by Governor Kuroda in 2013, and on top of that, the negative interest rate policy that was introduced in January 2016. And all of that's been done, and there's been no adverse reaction in the markets. Indeed, as we know, dollar yen has drifted back higher and is approaching the kind of intervention levels from 2022. So that is kind of, I guess, needs to be acknowledged. I still think while there was a cautious guidance, which was what encouraged yen selling, I would still say the risks are that the markets are going to come back to the idea that maybe the BOJ will certainly hike again, and potentially there's more to come than what's priced into the market. And that kind of, it certainly is going to encourage better two-way flow in the yen. Because now you have a central bank that is essentially live to incoming economic data, which basically since 2013, certainly since 2016, has just not been the case. They've just been sidelined on any kind of global developments, whereas now they're kind of in the frame for possible policy changes. And that creates uncertainty, potentially increases volatility, and therefore the carry is not going to be as attractive as it has been. And ultimately, that should result in yen strength going forward.
Thanks, Derek, for your insights. Indeed, quite a lot to unpack over there. Let's just look ahead a bit. What do you expect will be the focus for markets? Is there a particular issue or theme to look out for?
There's not much in terms of event risk. There is the Riksbank, which is part of our trading ideas. We'll come to that maybe in a minute. But I guess I go back to what I was just speaking about in terms of the BOJ and the fact that dollar yen has gone back up to the highs, close to the highs. We're 151.40, 151.50, I think, at the moment. So the high from last year is 51.91. The high from 2022, when we had intervention, is 51.95. The question we're getting a lot this week is, you know, has the stance of the MOF changed because the BOJ's QQE ultra-easing framework has been scrapped? In other words, would they tolerate, you know, a period of weaker yen, because ultimately the BOJ could then respond through monetary policy because they have greater flexibility. And while that makes sense to a degree, I just don't think it makes sense from a timing perspective. In other words, I just don't think there's the tolerance within the Kishida administration to allow for any kind of period of yen weakness through those highs. So, you know, I think come in on Monday and the dollar is still stronger, dollar yen could very easily be threatening these levels. And I think, obviously, I think the MOF would probably let those levels break if there is momentum to the upside. But I would certainly expect intervention at higher levels, whether it be in the 152s, 153s, they certainly won't, I don't think, tolerate a move beyond 155. So you could get a short-term bounce, but then I think they'll come in and be pretty aggressive in terms of ensuring we get a turnaround. Politically, it doesn't look good for the government, given the cost of living crisis is making the government unpopular. And in that sense, to allow the yen to just weaken with no kind of response would not be good politically. So the incentive is there to act. And we've had comments this week from Foreign Minister Suzuki. I would imagine the rhetoric will be upped next week and action will still be there. And that could be something we get next week if the dollar continues to strengthen from here.
Yeah, thanks. Very interesting. Obviously, something that we're keeping a very close eye on, and let's see how the situation develops next week. Finally, what about your trade recommendations? Do you have any update for our listeners?
Regular listeners will know, or readers of the FX Weekly, that we've been running a short Swiss franc Japanese yen trade recommendation. Obviously, that suffered in the early part of the week on the cautious BOJ communications and the yen weakening. But then, of course, the SMB came to our rescue on Thursday, and the Swiss franc has weakened on the back of the 25 basis point cut from the SMB. We're holding on to that, certainly from the communications from SMB President Jordan. Given the forecasts as well from the SMB, the indications are that, you know, there's more to come. The forecast from the SMB through until 2026, for all of 2025 and 2026, the inflation forecast is either 1.2 or 1.1%. Now, the SMB's definition of price stability is 2% or lower. So there is a skew to the downside. But historically, you know, the behavior of the SMB suggests that, you know, they become concerned if there's a threat of inflation going back below 1%. So I think FX intervention, I think further cuts are coming. And in that sense, further franc weakness is probable. It is a crowded trade, perhaps. I know from our own clients, there's been a lot of chatter about short Swiss and that being the way to go. So that's perhaps curtailed the scale of Swiss weakness that we've had since the SMB cut. So we're keeping that for you. And then we've also established a long euro stocky position. Riksbank is the one kind of event next week on Wednesday. Probably won't cut, although there is a risk they could, but they'll certainly give guidance in that direction. And what we can see in the FX markets is that there does tend to be a response to shifts in policy, not necessarily just cuts. Well, obviously cuts as well, like the SMB and the Swiss franc, but like the Aussie, for example, on Tuesday, the RBA shifted its guidance a little bit, not hugely, but, you know, Aussie still suffered on the back of that. So there is scope there, we think, for the guidance to change. And in that sense, we could get some further stocky selling. So that's a long euro stocky trade recommendation.
Got it. Thank you, Derek. And thank you to our listeners for joining. All the best for the next week ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets research team.